This is Your Working Life, a podcast that provides you with tools, inspiration, and resources so you can enjoy your career and love your life. I'm Caroline Dowd Higgins. I'm a speaker, an author, and an executive coach, and today I'm delighted to welcome Kim Dabbs to the show. Kim will discuss a new framework that allows each of us to define how we want to be seen, heard, and valued on our own terms, so we feel a sense of belonging in any situation. Kim, let's dive in. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here with you.
Oh my goodness, you're so welcome. I'm really enthusiastic about your subject matter expertise, your incredible new book. And I want to read a statement from the book that was really powerful to me that I think will set up our chat today. You write, "In a world overcrowded with labels, don't allow your identity to be defined by other people. Learn how to take back your power. Choose to feed the aspects of your identity that serve you and let go of those that don't." And I was particularly intrigued, Kim, by the phrase, take back your power. So I'm going to pass the baton to you to set us up and help us understand what belonging is and why it matters.
Thank you for the invitation to a conversation around belonging. From the definition of belonging, I like to just take a look at the word and dissect it a little bit. If you take a look at the be, we think about be as existing in the world. That long is really about the desire. And then the ing is that continual action. It's the journey. So when I think about defining belonging, it's each and every one of us actively longing to exist. And because of that, this is forever work. Belonging doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. But what it does have is each of us really exploring our own identities, which then leads to purpose. And that purpose is where our power lies.
Thank you for that. I just got chills. And I have to say, that beautiful phrase, forever work, just resonates. It hits home so much because I see so many organizations, you know, the DEI space, and now often DEIB, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, is very popular right now. And I say this, my observation is that some organizations throw some resources at it, but it's not forever work. And I'm really glad for that reframe because we're never done. So thank you for that.
Yes, absolutely. I think within organizations, when we think about this as a project or a program, it feels like a technical challenge, like there's a beginning and an end. And that's just not the case. These are cultural challenges. These are adaptive challenges that when we can really lean into doing the inner work as individuals and as leaders, that inner work then transforms into systems work. And the better that we can understand ourselves and what we bring to the workplace, how we show up every single day, the more that we can create those places and spaces for others to do the same.
So let's dig a little bit there because you opened up a beautiful opportunity. Let's discuss where belonging fits in all of the diversity, equity, and inclusion works companies are doing these days. And again, I love your term forever work. It's ongoing. How did belonging become attached to the DEI acronym? And, you know, what's the best way to begin thinking about how we can honor belonging at work?
What a great question. I think, you know, the moment in time that we're at today in the world, and it's different from culture to culture, from country to country, and organization to organization. But I think the world agrees. We're seeing a rise in belonging and the topic in boardrooms and dinner tables throughout the world. In my role, specifically in the space of working on challenges of people and planet, this is especially top of mind. Companies, I think, are really accustomed to talking about understanding the need to prioritize culture and the needs of employees in the workplace. So we hear a lot of companies and places talking about designing for inclusion. But being included isn't enough. having a seat at any table isn't enough. Because what happens is we can be diverse. We can have different lived identities. We can have equity even. So have equitable access to opportunities in our roles and in the workplace. We can even have a seat at the table. But if we don't belong, if we are masking ourselves as we walk through the door every day, if we don't have safe spaces around that table for each of us to bring our authentic selves, we end up hiding parts of our identity that are needed to thrive. And when we don't have that, not only do we as individuals suffer, but organizations suffer. So we're seeing this rise in conversations also about safe spaces for employees. And the reality is we're all complex and we're all unique. And the definition of a safe space is going to be different for you than it is for me, than it is for a coworker, which makes this individual identity work critical in building these cultures of belonging. Within the HR space or within the talent management space, we even hear organizations talking about things like culture fit and culture add. And culture fit being, you know, is the person that we're hiring or is the person that's going to join our team going to fit well with us? And that's the search for sameness, where a culture add is someone different from us actually going to come in and inject a new type of culture? And, you know, I struggle with both of those because culture isn't something people fit into, but a culture where people can be authentic and where they experience belonging is a sum of all of our individual parts. And that's the thing that makes a culture beautiful. So when I think about the shift in DEI, the rise of belonging, you can have the diversity, equity, and inclusion. You can have pieces of your identity even acknowledged. But until we get to that belonging where people can show up with authenticity, that's the outcome of DEI. So by extending that one little letter, that B, to diversity, equity, and inclusion, it really completes that circle of the culture that we're trying to create.
I love that. And, you know, I'm taking notes as you're writing because it's so powerful to me. And I want to make sure that I'm really honoring this great work after our conversation today. And what spoke to me was your phrase, the search for sameness. And that just hit me over the head like a ton of bricks because I've been in so many interviews where you're right. We're looking for someone to fit into an existing culture instead of honoring their unique, authentic self to think how it can enhance and change and develop the culture that's already there, bringing their uniqueness into the equation. That was a light bulb moment for me.
Yeah, I think when we think of safety, we think of things that are soft and nice. But the reality is belonging isn't about sameness. It's actually about all of us being incredibly different. And I think there is this algorithm of sameness that we live in this world. And we do that because in cultures, in places and spaces outside of even the workplace, in the world, in our homes, in our communities, we gravitate towards things and people and cultures that look like us. We gravitate towards them as friends and coworkers, and we look for those social cues of acceptance, and then we stay there. And we look for moments of affirmation from others, and then we go back for more. And it's a human need. You all have experienced that at some time. These are my people. They get me. This is totally normal. But as we're navigating our daily lives, what ends up happening is the sameness ends up starting to snowball or to accelerate, whether that be our algorithms showing us what to buy based on our shopping history or what to listen to based upon our last song. Even the news articles that we read every single day are curated because of our search history. And this illusion of sameness or of comfort ends up making us feel like people see us and the world is exactly like us and our truth is the only truth. But sameness isn't equity. And this algorithm of sameness if we continue to feed that, we're all going to pay the price. So within the workplace, I think it's one of the last places in the world where we can all gather, where we have to coexist with people that we don't choose every day. And we have to coexist in a community or a setting with people that have potentially radically different beliefs than our own. And if we're living within the sea of sameness, we don't actually break out of that sameness and start to have these nudges towards opposing viewpoints, thoughts, ideas, concepts that are different than ours, because we feel that those are going against this tsunami of reinforcing information. And then when we're confronted with that, it makes us feel even more like an outsider. And so to avoid these feelings of exclusion, we like the comfort of sameness. And what I'm encouraging people to do is not go for sameness, go for authenticity. Create those places and spaces where people can show up and have differing viewpoints, have that conversation, that difficult conversation, but do so in a way that honors the other person's humanity. So much of this is rooted in seeing each other, the complexity of each other, the beauty of each other, and understanding that different is okay. And different is a conversation we all need to have.
Oh, I love, love, love that. Kim, we'll be right back after a quick break. I'd like to tell you about a special offer. If you want to bring your podcast to life or up your podcast game, you can get up to 2 months of free podcasting service with Libsyn using my special code CDHWORK. The Libsyn team will get your podcast on Apple and Spotify and give you access to critical stats and all the support you need to sound your best and grow your show. Use my special code CDHWORK. Hiring the right speaker for your event is a tremendous responsibility. You need a speaker who will work within your budget and engage your audience. Whether you're looking to retain or grow top talent, create a healthy workplace culture, or prevent burnout in your organization, I can create customized content to help you recharge, reignite, or reinvent your career. Let's talk about how I can help you achieve your special event goals. Connect with me at caroline.higgins.com. Kim, you write in your book about your personal journey. You were born in Korea and adopted by American parents. And you write that for many years, you felt perpetually out of place in different cultures. But here you are, an influential voice in creating spaces where everyone feels that they belong. So tell us a bit about your journey and your learnings.
It's been a long journey. You're absolutely right. Korean born, American adoptee, living in Munich, Germany right now. And so I dove into this topic of belonging because the world perpetually seemed to be made up of places that I didn't feel like I belong. When I go to Korea, Koreans tell me, nope, you're American. And when I'm in America, people tell me, nope, you're Korean. And here in Germany, people tell me and remind me that I'm not German. And everywhere I go, people remind me I'm not one of them. And this feels like I have to be a cultural chameleon, like I'm the hot potato of inclusion, and it hurts. And as we know, neuroscience tells us this feeling of exclusion, it actually shares the same neural pathways of physical pain. And so to deal with this pain, I spent decades trying to find ways to fit in. I changed my hair, my clothes, my words. I did this all to make other people more comfortable in the places we shared, instead of me personally doing the inner work to enjoy those moments in the places I was. And so I really believe that I'm not the only one that feels this way. You don't have to have lived in multiple countries. You don't have to work in multiple sectors. We've all walked into rooms where we feel that we don't belong. And we can feel it in our bodies before we can even process it, before we have the language to name it. And then we start to get social cues. People will say to me, where are you really from? You should smile more. And then the world will overtly turn our back on parts of our identity when we hear these things. You're not professional enough. You speak really good English, or you're a diversity hire. And when we start to change, that weight, the weight of all of those experiences over time become heavier and heavier until we don't see ourselves anymore. And I feel that the way back to ourselves is really by going in.
Was there a turning point where you said, enough is enough? I'm tired of being the cultural chameleon and I'm ready to be my true self?
It's when I actually spent time and dedicated time to doing that inner work. And I think within professional organizations, a lot of times we say inner work, that's not on work time, that's on your personal time. But like I said, inner work is systems work. And the more that we can do that inner work and prioritize that time, the more that we can find what authenticity means to us. And when we find that, we can actually provide that place for others so they can show up authentically and they can thrive. This all happened, you know, during COVID. I was on lockdown for a couple of years and I began to explore what that red thread was throughout my life. And, you know, coming from the social impact space, I thought it was going to be something around that. But what I saw is that the thing that was consistent was with my life was community. And everywhere we go, we're in community, in relationship with others. So that journey for me was sitting in my home here in Munich with a lot of project boards and a ton of post-it notes, just deconstructing all of those pieces of me, of my identity, and putting together this framework that could help me understand how to stand firmly when so much of myself and who I was challenged in the world.
Well, thank you for doing that work and for writing this book, because you're clearly helping others discover their own authentic and unique self. And there's no doubt that you're a global leader in belonging and purpose. From your vantage point, are you seeing a shift in belonging in the workplace? And, you know, for example, you write about how leaders really need to take the charge in organizations. So share a bit more about that.
I am seeing a shift. And thankfully, through conversations like this and through engagements that I've had throughout the world, people are sharing beautiful stories of progress around belonging. When they do that inner work, when they see themselves as a leader, when they see themselves as part of a team. And when you can start to prioritize those rituals and norms, not just a once a year thing, but an everyday action that you're going to take to create that space for others to thrive, to others to show up authentically, this is where the movement begins. And I'm definitely seeing a movement. People questioning, if I have a seat at the table, is that enough? If I have a seat at the table, is this the right table for me to be at? Or do we actually need to build a new one? So I ask leaders throughout the world, one, to do the inner work. And when you're doing that, do it with the team in mind, because there's an African concept of Ubuntu. I am because you are. The reason that my identity exists, the reason that I'm able to engage and interact with others, is because I'm in relationship with you. And everyone that we come in contact with has a beautiful identity. And it's learning about that, making space for each of those identities that matters. So I ask leaders to start to ask questions of themselves. Where are the tables that you're designing? What spaces have you created? When you have used the power that you have, do you use your power to share it with others? Because that's the only use of power. And when you have that power, what policies or programs are you able to shape to remove those barriers for other people to belong so they can thrive, so they can be included. They can have integrity within their daily experiences, because true belonging is realized when we discover that every single one of us is an outsider. But it's the power of creating space for those differences that really brings us together as one.
Something else struck me, it's so poignant in your writing. You walk people through their lived identity and their learned identity. So that was an aha moment for me. And you talk about sunsetting stories that you've told yourself that are no longer serving you. Can you give me an example of that? Because this helps me understand that our identity is dynamic and changes and adapts based on where we are in our lives.
That's right. It's a very impermanent state. One of the women that I interviewed for the book, she was a designer. And one of the stories that she would tell herself was that I'm too sensitive. She was told that by coworkers. She was told that by bosses, by her family. Until one day when she really took time to do the inner work, she realized I'm not too sensitive. What is beautiful about me is how sensitive I actually am. It makes me a better designer. It means I put beautiful things into the world that honors and respects and understands people at a deeper level. It was the world telling her that story of I'm too, and she just kept repeating it over time. But she realized that I'm too was actually her superpower. It was the one thing that made her so unique and so incredibly beautiful every single day. And I ask readers to really do that exploration as well. What is the story that you're telling yourself? Because sometimes those old stories are rooted in things that, when amplified, when understood, could actually be the thing that makes you so special.
I love that. Kim, we could talk all day, but as we bring this episode to a close, to give us one beginning action step about how we start to really think about our definition, our own story, our own narrative that is truly unique and not something we inherited or something that society has imprinted on us, but how do we get to that safe space of knowing our own definition of who we are?
Yeah, I think when each of us belongs to ourselves, this is when we transform exactly what you talked about, those lived, learned, lingering identities into one that we love, because they each play a critical role. That loved identity is actually a culmination of the three of them. And when we know and can use our voice to say, this is how I see, hear, and value myself on my terms, that's when that loved identity comes to life. It's when we can see ourselves through a lens of empowerment, we understand our values, and we define all of these things for ourselves. So I think that the one thing that people can start doing is really digging deep. Start with your values. Start defining all of those things. And the one thing that I created was my own mantra. So every time when the world happens, and the world does happen to us, when those things are challenged, I do have a response, and I do tell myself in those moments, you belong here. So understand your values, create your own motto or mantra, and just know at the end of the day, you do belong here.
Kim Dabbs, what a joy to have you on the show. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your expertise. Your incredible new book is called You Belong Here, The Power of Being Seen, Heard, and Valued on Your Own Terms. And of course, it's available on Amazon and all major book retailers. But Kim, I'm confident that listeners around the world are eager to keep following you after the show. So how can they reach out?
Yes, I would love to continue the conversation. You can find me on LinkedIn and on my website, tobelonging.com. Thank you so much for having me today. Thank you for believing in belonging, and thank you so much for believing that change is possible.
Thank you, Kim. I am grateful for you. And Your Working Life is now available on all major podcast platforms. And please leave a review, because this will help new listeners find us online. And I'd love to give a special shout out to my extraordinary podcast colleagues, Laura Deck, Executive Director of Publicity and Communications, and Claire McInerney, Executive Producer. Thank you for making this show awesome for our global audience. We now have listeners in 34 countries. I'm Caroline Dowd-Higgins. Thanks for listening.